Praise God. We thank God for another good morning that God has given us to listen to His Word. And we are still in the book of Acts, and we have been looking at this man, Philip. And yesterday we were able to see that he now had moved into his manifestation. Remember, he was a believer, he was of a good reputation, he was full of wisdom and full of the Spirit of God, and he was appointed by the leaders of the church that he should serve and wait on tables and help in the distribution of food. So he was basically helping in the feeding program. But the Bible tells us that the apostles laid their hands on them, they prayed for them. And I believe what happened when they were prayed for is a divine impartation. And this is something that is very unique, that speaks about what happens when the leaders lay their hands on people or when they pray over them. You see how Paul tells the Corinthian church that I long to see you that I may impart in you some spiritual gift. That speaks of that spiritual gift is the charismatos, which actually is the miraculous faculty. He wants to give them something that is beyond man, beyond human capacity, beyond human language. You know, there are things that are given that you can have an encounter with God, that you know you have received something that you might not be able to even put language to it. You know, when Paul says that I know of a man who years ago was caught up into the third heavens and he had inexpressible things. He had things for which it is not permitted for man to say. That means there are things that God can give you that can be permitted, they can be allowed, but there are also things that are beyond our words, they're beyond our expressions, and they're things that are of God. And at times it can even take a lifetime to understand what encounters that you go through. And let us be sensitive always that God is always calling people to encounters. God is always calling people to moments that He wants to impart in them something spiritual. And at times this impartation can take through the laying on of hands. It can take through, you know, prayer. It can take through a vision. It can take through a dream. It can take through insight. You know, it can just take through being laid on of hands or being anointed. And all these are moments of encounters in which there are spiritual transfers. Now, we have to be careful, of course, that who we allow to lay on hands on, because the Bible says, do not be hasty in the laying on of hands and do not share in the sins of others. That means that it is possible for wrong transference if we don't discern who God has placed before us, who God has placed, you know, to guide us, to lead us, to walk with us. Because one thing that God will do for every student, for everyone that is hungry, for everyone that is desiring to grow, God will place for you someone who will be able to teach you. And if you're sensitive to hear, if you're sensitive to be guided, if you're sensitive to learn, then you shall receive an impartation. Now, we're in Acts chapter 8, and we have seen this man that was imparted, and now the Bible tells us he goes to Samaria during the persecution, and he preaches Christ, and he is able to manifest Christ, and he does the actual four things that Jesus did. He preached Christ, he taught the people, he healed the sick, he performed miracles, and beyond that also, he cast out devils. He did deliverance. So if we are to be effective in our ministry, we need these four angles. We need to be able to preach the word of God. We need to be able to teach the people. Teaching is for grounding. Preaching is to proclaim. Preaching is what, you know, communicates a message to people that exhorts them to hear the word of God, to repent, to come to the knowledge of truth. Teaching is for grounding. Teaching is a solid work that is, you know, it's called doctrine. To whom will the Lord teach doctrine? You know, the one that has been weaned from the milk. The one, you know, it has a little there, a little here. And doctrine is added like that. You know, one thing is added here, a layer after layer. And that is a process. But then beyond that also, we need also to have the manifested presence of God. God. What do I mean by manifested presence? Yes, God is everywhere. God is around us. God is in us. But there is a point where God comes to fully manifest himself. And when that manifestation happens, there is a distinction over your life. There is a distinction that God places on your life that announces you. You know, when that ear opens, when that deaf ear opens, when that blind eye sees, when that lame person begins to walk, when that miracle starts to manifest, when people come back with testimonies of jobs, of babies that they have received by the altar, you know, by the prayers, then it starts to become an evidence of the manifested presence of God, living in the overflow that God is manifesting himself through you and proving his presence. And you see, when God proves his presence, it's an evidence to men that you have encountered him. Now, Philip manifests Christ and he preaches Christ and he performs the miracles and signs. He casts out devils, and the Bible says, and there was great joy in that city. One man, through the preaching of Christ, through the manifestation of the presence of God, through healing, miracles, and signs, can bring great joy to a city. Hallelujah. In Acts chapter 8, verse 9, we see that now there is contention. There was contention. I tell you, lands are occupied. I have a friend who always keeps saying that there is no land without a contest. There is no one who takes territory without a fight. That even when you go to a place, you will find that someone will claim it, or someone will want to show that it is his. Why? Because territory is important to man as well as it is important to God. And that is why even when God in the beginning, he gave territory, he gave the kingdom to man. But you see, the enemy came and took that possession. He took that possession because when Adam obeyed the devil, he lost it. He lost that possession. He lost it. But then when he comes to Samaria, Philip comes and finds that there was someone who had taken possession of that land, and that was Simon the sorcerer. When Philip comes to the land, he finds that Simon the sorcerer had taken possession. And the Bible tells us this. But there was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. But when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Now, the Bible is telling us that Samaria was not vacant. There are no vacancies in the spirit. This is one thing that you have to know. Every city has its owners. And unless you go and take possession, unless you go and manifest a greater light. And you see, one of the things that we see that Philip did not go even to fight. It was not that he was going to fight. He just went and brought the light of Christ. I tell you, when you bring light into a room, darkness finds its level. It finds its level in the shadows. It finds its level. It moves away. A small light is enough to drive away darkness. All you need to bring to a dark room is light, and light will appear. Philip brought light, and when he brought light, the people had him. The people who were previously blinded by Simon the sorcerer, they were previously confused. They were previously hindered in their understanding. The Bible tells us that for a long time, he had astonished the people of that city of Samaria. Can you imagine that people claimed that he was the great power of God? They called him, "This man is the great power of God." That means that the things that Philip did were so great that it rendered the man that was called the great power of God jobless. That even he himself, he was marveled and astonished at the things that Philip did. Now, let us know that when we speak of sorcery, it speaks of the demonic wisdom. Because the devil also has his wisdom. Witchcraft is his power side. Sorcery is his demonic wisdom. And through that, they confuse people. You know, why do people go and consult spirits and demons? It's because they receive a wisdom from that side, you know, from that demonic side. And they use it either for trade, for business. Think of the girl, the servant girl who had the spirit of Python in Acts chapter 16, who would, you know, from time to time foretell the future and made profit for her masters. Now that spirit gives people some wisdom. Why do people look at horoscopes? Because it gives them some demonic wisdom. And for sure, as a Christian, you should not be listening to horoscopes. You should not be reading horoscopes. You should not be going to ball gazers, you know, and all these witchcraft things that people do. You should not be doing it because it is not of God. Now you see, when people were amazed by that, Philip demonstrated something that was greater. Why? Because the power of God will always be greater than the power of the devil. Think of Moses and the Pharaoh's magicians. Whatever miracle did Moses did, they also did something. Now, when he threw his stick and it turned into a snake, the Bible tells us that Pharaoh's magicians also threw down their sticks and it became snakes. But what did happen? The snake of Moses swallowed up the snake of the Pharaoh's magicians. And the Bible says, just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so there is always opposition in territories. And if you are not prepared for the fight, you might end up a casualty. You need to be authorized, you need to be prepared, you need to live in righteousness, you need to have nothing that the enemy will have against you. Jesus said, "The prince of this world cometh, yet he finds nothing against me." The only place that we can hide is under the blood and living in obedience to the truth. Why? Because when we walk in disobedience, we give the enemy a place where he can attack us from. I tell you, any area that we lack, that we open a window for the devil, it becomes a window that he can use to impact us or to attack us. That is why it's very necessary to always put on the full armor of God, that we might take our stand against every scheme of the devil. Remember, the devil is called the accuser of brethren. Why? Because his job is to go to heaven and say, "God, this person has given me this window. This person is sinning. The wages of sin is death. He deserves to die. I need him." And he uses the word of God to accuse the brethren. But you see, there is always exchange. There is always superiority. The Bible says when Philip came, they heeded him because he had, you know, they heeded him, you know, because they had him preaching Christ and concerning the things pertaining to the gospel. And Simon the sorcerer, who heard the things, he saw the miracles, he believed. Now, verse 14 tells us, "Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet he had fallen upon none of them, they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Now verse 18 says, and when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostle hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. I want to stop there in terms of the speaking of Simon the sorcerer, but I want us just to focus on the issue of divine impartations. And this is really what we see. We see that Philip, yes, was an evangelist. Yes, he did signs, miracles, and wonders. Yes, he was powerful, but he did not pray for them to receive the Holy Spirit. That means that he had not yet been given the liberty of the Spirit to do that. At that point, it was still for the apostles. Why? Because the apostles are given a spiritual rank by God that allows them to impart Holy Spirit into others, to impart giftings. And that's why when I spoke earlier that Paul says that I long to see that I may impart a spiritual gift on you. Now, apostles are able to transfer gifts. And by transferring, you can see they laid hands on them and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, the apostles, God has given them the ability to multiply. Now, if you are around an apostle, you will realize that he has men that have the same spirit as him. Why? Because there is an impartation that transfers from the apostles, and by those around him that serve him, they find that they have received the same spirit. They find that they pray in a same way. They find that they preach in a same way. They find that when someone speaks and says that, when I heard you, I heard this man. Do you listen to this man or are you imparted by this man? Now that tells you that this man is a recipient of the same spirit of the apostle. Think of Elisha and Elijah. The Bible says Elisha asked, give me a double portion of your spirit. It was not referring to double in terms of numbers, but he was referring to double portion in terms of inheritance as a son. There is inheritances that come to sons. There is inheritance that comes to servants. Those sons that serve receive an inheritance. Divine impartation was coming through the laying on of hands. And the Bible says when the apostles who are in Jerusalem, remember they were not scattered, but when they heard that Samaria had received the gospel, this time they were not worried that they are coming to, you know, to Gentiles. They were not worried that they are coming to the house of people who are not Jews. The Bible says they sent Peter and they sent John to them. And the Bible says when they had come down, remember Samaria is down, when they had come down to them, they laid their hands on them, and the Bible says, and they received the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that even Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of hands. I tell you, may God give us wisdom. May God give us insight. May God give us the ability to see beyond the natural, to see beyond the color of people, to see beyond their age, to see beyond their skin color, and not to miss the people that God has placed before us for our impartation, for our growth, for our understanding. If God gives you insight, if God reveals, follow. The Bible says, follow, follow, imitate me as I follow Christ. Even though you have many instructors in Christ, you have few fathers. May God give us more insight into his word. And as we reflect today on the impartations that come through the man of God. I'll stop there, my brother. God, you're welcome.
With the power of God, I think we learned from the story of Simon the Sorcerer that it always catches up with you how much you pretend to be using divine power to eventually catch up with you. The God's blessings are not bought. God's manifestation is not bought. I think that was something that clearly came out there. But other than that, there's nothing more to add.
Amen. Amen. True. You can't hide forever. I like that. Oh, God is faithful. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that, Lord, indeed, you are the giver of gifts. You are the one that imparts men. And I pray this morning for an impartation over everyone that is hungry to receive of you, hungry to receive of your spirit. Everyone that is longing to hear, longing to know, longing to receive, I pray by your divine spirit that they may receive an impartation that comes from you, a grace that comes from you, an understanding that comes from you. May they not miss their seasons. May they have understanding of their times and seasons. We pray for wisdom. We pray for power. We pray for direction. May your name be praised and be adored. This day is ordered, guided, and led by you. We honor, we adore you, and we give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray and believe. Amen. 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 Shalom and blessed day.